You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Scripture says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." The psalmist said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." And he says, "Come and let us magnify the Lord together." So one more time, just lift it up to him and just give him the praise and the thanks that he's so worthy of. The scripture says, "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord." We've all got a reason to praise God here this morning. Amen? Amen and amen. I have appreciated the music today. Isn't God good? Aren't you glad you can feel him? You can sense his presence. The Bible tells us that we don't live by feelings. We don't walk this walk by feeling. If we did, then that roller coaster that the gentleman was talking about earlier, I think by the time we got halfway down the mountain, we'd be changing our mind about living for God, because there's times in our lives where we just don't feel like it. But I'm glad today to tell you that we live this life by faith. By faith, not by feeling, but I'm thankful that there's some feeling that comes with this thing. The old saying says it's better felt than telt. But if somebody never told me, I would have never had the opportunity to feel it. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. We're going to read three verses of Scripture. As soon as I find out that Matthew comes before Mark, and Mark... I should have put a marker in my Bible. But I appreciate the Word of God, and that the Word of God doesn't change. It's always the same. That God doesn't change. He's always the same. This is dependable. Just as dependable as he is, you can depend on God's Word. The Bible reads as follows. "So we got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you.' And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.'" I want to share with you from verse 2. The Bible said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven thee." This morning, I'd like to talk to you just a little bit about be of good cheer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we thank you, God, for your presence. And Lord, as we sang these songs to worship you and to lift up the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, Father, we pray in Jesus' name again that as we share this word, that this would be from the scripture, and we apply these scriptures to our hearts, our lives, God, that you would just feed our souls, anoint our heads with oil until our cup runs over. God, I pray in Jesus' name that your divine will be done, that you accomplish everything that you have set forth to do. You know this congregation. You know this group. You know their needs. And before we ever ask, Father God, you know exactly what it is we have need of. I pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Help us to be obedient. And help us to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I hope you don't mind if I take this off. It's a little warm up here. I'm glad Brother Dan didn't connect that thing to my jacket. She's right behind you. She was going to come up and get that. I'm just glad she didn't bring a hanger in with her. God's good. And we really appreciate the privilege of being here again today. We have found a good church and made some good friends in your congregation. We're thankful for them. Your Your pastor is a wonderful man. And I guess your pastor's wife, she's all right too. But she is awesome too. The whole family. Even Wyatt, little Wyatt. That guy is something else. But you've all always made us feel at home, and you've always welcomed us, and we appreciate it. And evidently, you have a little confidence in us, and we're thankful for it. It's hard to find people that'll have confidence in you today. We're living in a very wicked and perverse society. And it's good to come to a church where people love the Word. Don't need my opinion, just give me the Word. Because the Bible tells us it's upon this Word that you and I find life. It's in this Word that we're going to find the peace that we need. It's in this Word that we're going to find the direction that we need. Everything we need, we're going to find in this Word. So as we share here this morning, we have a very, very simple little message here today. Be of good cheer. We've entered into holiday seasons. You know, right after Halloween, they started playing Christmas music. Before, my wife said, before Halloween. I'm glad it was after Halloween before I heard my first Christmas song. I'm really not into Christmas music until it gets close to Christmas. Then I like it. But I don't like it in June. I don't like Hallmark in July. It just doesn't float my boat. But anyhow, people love Christmas music. It has the ability to lift you up. It has the ability to make you feel good on the inside. And there are actually many, many songs that actually really do talk about the true meaning of Christmas. Those are the ones that I like. It's like singing out of the Redback Hymnal, you know what I mean? There are songs in there that minister to you. They magnify the Lord. They lift them up. The songs we sang here today, they actually mention the name of Jesus. That's so important. So important. And one of those songs there, I think if we had a pair of bongos, could have went a little bit reggae. It really was good stuff. But I do appreciate the Word of God. I appreciate the music that God has for His children to worship Him. And as we look at this particular portion of Scripture, the Bible says Jesus got in a boat with His disciples and He sailed into His own country. And it doesn't tell us anything hardly other than the fact that when He got out of the boat, people brought a man to Him that was a paralytic. This man was paralyzed. And when they brought this man, they set this man down in the presence of Jesus. Jesus looked at the man and said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee." Now, if you take a look at this man's life, you look at your life, you look at my life, you know, I look at mine, you look at yours, you really can't see into my life and I can't see into yours, but you know your own life. And if you think about the good times you've had and the bad times you had, the times that you felt like, man, I'm on top of the mountain, and as it's already been said, the times that we're in the valley when life is tough and when life is good. We've all experienced these things in life, but can you imagine what it must have been like for this man? Each and every day, he was dependent on somebody to transport him from one room to the next. Every day, he was dependent on somebody to bring his food, to bathe him. Everything this man needed or could use in life, he was dependent upon somebody else to take care of him. Now, I've never been in that place. Well, I take that back. I was in that place one time when I was, well, actually when I was born, I guess I was in that place. I was dependent on everybody. Somebody took care of me. I was in an automobile accident, spent 3.5 months in a hospital, and I was dependent on people to take care of me. I remember when my mom came to pick me up from the hospital and I got in the car for the very first time after this accident. I had been going down the road any faster than what a wheelchair could get you through the hallways in the hospital. And I got in the car with my mom. She was going 5 miles an hour and I was freaking out. So I knew what it was like to be dependent upon somebody to take care of me. And we have probably made some of you in this room and may have been in that place. But this man, every day of his life that we know about, this man was paralyzed. He could do absolutely nothing for himself. And people took care of him. And those that were taking care of him on this particular day, they brought him to Jesus. And the first thing Jesus says to him, "Son, be of good cheer." Have you ever been depressed? Ever been bummed out? You know, ever been what you may consider to be rock bottom, have some wonderful Christian person with a big smile on her face and slap you on the back and say, man, you got everything in the world to be thankful for. Be of good cheer, man. God loves you. And how that makes you feel, you know. Sometimes it makes you feel good. Other times it just makes you shake your head and makes you wonder, does he really love me? And then the enemy begins to talk to us, and he sits on our little shoulder here. And he says, if he really loved you, you wouldn't be where you're at. If God really cared, why are you going through this? Why is this happening in your life? But the first thing that Jesus says to this man, it says, son, be of good cheer. And he's about ready to give him the reason why he should be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. My friend, I want you to know the best thing that God could ever do in our lives today is not give us a new car and not provide for us a better meal or a nicer house, and more land or a better ability to shoot that bow and arrow into that deer so you can put venison on the table. The best gift God could ever give us is salvation. Amen. The forgiveness of sin. So he says to this man, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. I mean, I kind of like to think that wouldn't it be neat the first time you ever heard the gospel, if you submitted your heart to the Lord, amen, you just said, God, I'm yours, and you gave your heart to the Lord. What would life have been like if the first time you ever heard the gospel, first time you ever heard about Jesus, maybe this is you, maybe you did that, I didn't, but can you imagine what it would have been like if the first thing I ever heard about Jesus was Jesus speaking to me saying, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. This man, the Bible says, Jesus, the scripture says, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the Bible says, he says to him, take up your bed and go home. So the first time that we read about this man in life, taking up his bed and going home forgiven of his sin, not only forgiven of his sin, but now he's healed. But the first thing came first. When you think about, the most important thing was taken care of before the man was ever healed. What good would have done this man if Jesus would have healed his body and sent him home a sinner? If he'd have sent him home lost, he'd still been lost. He'd have still been miserable. Sure, the quality of his life may increase, but the quality of his spirit would not. The condition of his soul would not have changed. God is concerned about the condition of our soul. He's concerned about the condition of our heart. So we might think to ourselves, well, what this man really needed was healing for his body. But Jesus knows better. He knows exactly what it is that we have need of. And he said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven you. And because of their faith, the Bible says Jesus healed his body and sent him home. Can you imagine what it must have been like when that man got home? When he walked through the door for the very first time in his life, he walked through the front door on his own, carrying his bed, not the bed that used to carry him. Now he is carrying it. The thing that may have been a burden to him all of his life, now he's got that burden on his shoulder. He's taking control of that thing. Why? Because Jesus set him free. Can you imagine how mom and dad must have felt when they saw their son walk through the door? How his wife, if he was married, must have felt when she saw him walk through the door? It's his children, if he ever had any, would have felt when he walked through the door. Can you imagine what it would be like in your household if today you allowed God to have his way in your life and do whatever it is that you need in your life to be done, what it would be like for your family when you got home? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you went home saved, I want you to know your whole household would change. Not only does your life change, but the place where you have your influence changes. Everything changes when you get saved. So when this man went home forgiven, when this man, if I can put it this way, went home born again, he was forgiven of his sin. Can you imagine what his household must have been like? What would your household be like today? Again, if you're lost and you went home saved, your household would be different. Not only would your life be different, your wife's life, your husband's life, your children's lives, your parents' lives, they would all be affected by what you allow Jesus to do in your heart today. So Jesus says to this man, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, when you think about this, it all came because there were men of faith, or there may have been, there were people of faith that brought this man to Jesus. Now, you've heard it said probably time and time and time again, especially if you've been to church very often that you're here for a reason, that you're not here by accident, that God has a purpose for you being here. God has a purpose for us being here. God has a purpose for this word here today to be of good cheer. Your life can be changed. Your life, actually, every service we come to, every time we come to the house of God, we should leave changed. We should leave changed. You might say to yourself, well, I don't need anything, man. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I pray in the Spirit. I do this. I do that. I do this. I do that. My friend, I want you to, every time we come to the house of God, we should leave changed. We should leave changed. It should have an effect upon our lives. So Jesus says, son, be of good cheer. Send him home, carrying his bed on his shoulders, walking into his house for the very first time, a man forgiven of his sin. I remember when I walked to my house, forgiven of my sin, the difference that it made. Man, I was radically saved, and I thank God for the if there's such a word as radicalism, amen, it probably ain't, but we're just make up another one. That's what us Christians do. We just make up words as we go along, amen. But I got saved, and it was a radical salvation, and I'm thankful for it. But I went home different. When I walked through the door the very first time as a Christian, as a born-again believer, things started changing in my house. Things in my refrigerator got taken out. Things that I had stashed away got destroyed and things of this nature. But nonetheless, my life was changed. And my family was changed. And it's changed forever. So you can imagine, he says, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. There was a woman in the Bible, a woman who had faith. How many women in this house have faith? Amen. Faith. The Bible says, ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. That you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done, if you doubt not. So faith is a very, very powerful instrument that God has blessed us with. Very powerful instrument that God has blessed us with. And faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more we read, the more we hear, the more we listen to God, amen, the more our faith grows. So the Bible tells us this woman had faith. For 12 years, she had an issue of blood. She went from one doctor to the next doctor to the next doctor, but she increasingly grew worse. She spent all her money going from doctor to doctor to doctor, but she continued to get worse. She had a bad diagnosis. Wasn't anything, apparently, that the doctors could do for her, and they gave up on her, if I can put it that way. She ran out of money, so she couldn't go to the doctor anymore. So she made up her mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch Jesus, I know that I'll be healed. I know that I'll be healed. So the Bible says she pressed in through the crowd. Multitudes around. This woman is ceremonially unclean. She's got an issue of blood. She continued to bleed for 12 years, and she was considered unclean. And she reached up, and she touched the hem of his garment when Jesus was passing by. This kind of lets me know that it makes me feel like somehow she was on her hands and knees making her way through this crowd. And the Bible says as soon as she touched Jesus, that virtue flowed from him into her, and she was immediately made whole. She was immediately healed. Why? Because by faith, she touched the Lord. By her faith, she touched the Lord. Amen. Not by somebody else's faith. It was her faith that caused her to reach out and touch God. And the Bible says Jesus stopped immediately. And he asked his disciples, said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, how can you ask us who touched you? There's a multitude of people here thronging up against you. He says, no, but virtue flowed from me. This was a different kind of touch. You know, there are all kind of ways that we can touch Jesus. I want you to know that. There are a lot of different ways we can touch him. Oh, but when virtue flows, my friend, there's something special about that reaching out by faith. There's something special about touching him with faith. And the Bible tells us that Jesus stopped and he turned and he looked at the woman. The woman said, Lord, I made up my mind if I could just touch the hem of your garment. I knew that I would be healed. I've been sick for 12 years, had this issue of blood, and I touched you, and now I'm healed. And Jesus says to this woman, says, be, daughter, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Thy faith has made you whole. Be of good cheer. Notice what he said. Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made you whole. So here we have a paralytic man who was healed, and not only healed, but forgiven of his sin because others had faith to bring him to Jesus. Here we have this woman on her own strength, in her own faith, reaching out and touching Jesus and receiving her healing. But first Jesus says to her, be of good cheer. It's your faith that made you whole. My friend, I want you to know, I got good news for you here today. No matter what's going on in your life, God has the answer. No matter what you need, He has the answer. And if we could just reach out and touch Him by faith, or we can just listen to the words that He has to say and apply them to our lives, we can leave this place of good cheer. Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Be of good cheer, thy faith hath made you whole. And we take another look, if you will, in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. John the Baptist had just died. You all know how brutal his death was. He was beheaded, and Jesus got news of the death of John the Baptist. And the Bible says that he went up into a mountain separate from his disciples to pray. And as he got alone with God, he was grieving. He was grieving so bad. His heart was broken. His cousin, and not only his cousin, he was the forerunner. He was the one that made straight the way of the Lord. Jesus said, there's not been a greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. So this was a very, very important man as far as the gospel is concerned, but he was very important to Jesus. This was not only his blood relative, this was he was part of the advancing of the kingdom of God. He was the man that came out of the wilderness preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was the guy that saw Jesus coming over the hillside and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He's the man who says, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes or tie his shoes. He says, I must decrease that he might increase. He was the man that just lifted up the name of Jesus, made straight the way of the Lord, but because of his stand for righteousness, he was thrown in jail and eventually beheaded. And Jesus finds out about this and his heart is broken. He is grieved. So he goes into the mountainside and he gets alone with his heavenly Father. And no doubt he's talking to him about the grief that he feels in his heart. He's bearing his soul out to the heavenly Father for the pain that he's felt. You ever been there? You know, in this holiday season, this kind of comes to our mind quite often during this time of the year. We have Thanksgiving dinners, and then we have Christmas dinners, and then we have New Year's celebrations. We look across the table, and there's that empty chair. You know, that chair of somebody that used to occupy that chair in our family. Somebody used to sit around that table and sing songs with us and pray with us and eat food with us. And our hearts are touched with a sense of grief, whether it's something that's happened recently or it's something that happened years and years and years ago. They're still not there. And here Jesus takes his pain and he takes it to the Father. And he gets alone with God. You know, we're living in very uncertain times, for sure. And all of us have been touched by the hand of grief, if you will. And the Bible says Jesus comes down out of the mountain in multitudes gathered around here. And he says, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And he healed the multitudes. Even in the midst of his grief, his pain, and his suffering, he had compassion on the multitudes. And he healed them. And the Bible says he told his disciples to get into a boat. And they got into the boat and they started sailing over to the other side of the sea there. And the scripture says that Jesus sent the multitudes away and he went back up into the mountain. No doubt to get alone with his heavenly Father. And it was about the fourth watch of the night, somewhere after 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus looks out into the sea and what does he see? He sees the disciples out there in that boat being rocked to and fro with every wind. The winds were boisterous. They were making absolutely no progress. They were going absolutely nowhere. Life sometimes is full of these kinds of uncertainties. We're out there in life and it seems like the storms are coming against us. The winds are boisterous and we're making no progress at all. We're rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, doing what we know to do. And the next day it just seems like we're going absolutely nowhere. And we're in fear, sometimes in fear for our very own lives, sometimes in fear for our families, fear for our friends, fear for this and fear for that. You know, the agent of fear isn't God. God says he's not given us a spirit of fear that works torment in our lives, but he's given us a spirit of love and joy and peace in our hearts and souls. But they're out there and they're in fear. Why? Because they have no control over the elements, and it looks like the elements have control over them. Sometimes it seems like the situations that we're in, we have absolutely no control over them. We don't know how things are going to turn out. And we're out there and we're working at it. We're working at it. We're working at it. We're making absolutely no progress.
I can speak as a pastor, pouring myself and my wife, pouring ourselves into ministry. Ministry year after year after year. And sometimes it's flourishing, and other times it seems like the bottom has fallen out of the boat. And the storms are raging, and we feel like you're making no progress at all. And here Jesus sees them out there, and they're being tormented by the tumult. The scripture says Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And they see Jesus out there in the midst of that storm, and they think it's a ghost. And again, with fear, they didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. You know, sometimes God's a moving and we can't recognize it. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, he's right. I guarantee you he's right there, because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He's right there in the middle of the storm, but he's getting closer to us and we just don't recognize. He's moving and he's going to move in our situation, but sometimes we just don't recognize it. They thought it was some kind of ghost. And the first thing that Jesus says, be of good cheer. It's me. Hey, they're out there in the midst of this storm, and they think they're going to sink. They think they're going to die, and there's some dude walking on the water saying, hey, be happy, I'm here. Be of good cheer, it's me. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, then bid me to come. And Peter gets down out of the boat, and he begins to walk to the Lord. Right in the middle of that storm, same storm that they were afraid of, Peter's out there, got his eyes focused on Jesus. He's walking on the water, making his way to the Lord. All of a sudden, he gets his eye on the storm, and he begins to sink, and he cries out to the Lord, said, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached down, lifted him up, and they walked back to the boat together. And as soon as Jesus got on the boat, there was a calm. My friend, sometimes we just got to invite Jesus in the boat in the middle of our storm. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's sometimes that we can't handle it ourselves. Sometimes we just can't do it our own way. Sometimes we can't just do the same old, it worked before, it'll work again. My friend, that's not necessarily true. It may not work the same way this time, but I want you to know that God's still the same. The same Jesus that got you out of the mess you were in before is the same Jesus getting you out of the mess you're in now. He's still the same. He hasn't changed. And you can go home just like that paralytic man today and walk through the door, a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl in Christ Jesus. We can all do that. We just put our confidence and our faith in him in the midst of the storm. So in times of uncertainty, we need to know that he is there. Amen. When we are searching and we're unsure and we're in the middle of this storm, when we call out on God, we know that he is there. And the world would like nothing better than to silence us. He would like us to do nothing more than be silent when we should be calling on the name of the Lord. Even when we do not see him, he is there. The Bible says Jesus walking down the road, and he is making his way down the road. Multitudes were following him. And there was a blind beggar sitting by the side of the road. And this blind beggar wanted to know what was going on. And somebody said, well, Jesus is passing by. And all of a sudden he begins to cry out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples said, don't bother the master. Don't bother Jesus. He doesn't have time for this. Don't bother the master. And the more they tried to get him to hush up, the more he cried out. And the louder he cried, sometimes, oh, bless God, I'm just going to say this the way I feel it. There may be times God gives you something and somebody sitting on the pew next to you would try to drown it out. Sometimes he gives you a word and somebody sitting next to you in choir practice may try to drown it out. Somebody sitting next to you in the house of God may try to drown it out. What I'm trying to say, even the disciples tried to drown out this man who was calling on the name of the Lord. I want to encourage you, when you feel like you need to call, it doesn't matter what portion of the service that it's in, you call on the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're driving down the expressway, you call on the name of the Lord. And if you feel you got to pull over on the side, just pull over and call on the name of the Lord. So this man cried out all the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And all of a sudden he got his attention and Jesus stopped. And the disciples ran back to the man. The Lord's calling after you. He wants you to come. So the man, the Bible says, took off his blind man's clothes. That's pretty good, ain't it? Took off his beggar's garment, laid it by the side of the road, and he came to Jesus. And he says, what would you have me to do? He says, "Oh, that I might receive my sight." He says, "Son, be of good cheer. Son, be of good cheer. Your faith, again, is going to make you whole. But son, be of good cheer. My friend, I want you, even when we don't see him, just like this blind man, when Jesus passed by, we can call on his name, and I got good news for you. He knows right where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And no matter who tries to silence you, if you call on him, you'll get his attention. He'll call you into his presence, and the next thing you know, he ministers to your need. Son, be of good cheer." Hey, man, I better put these back on because I might read something that ain't right. "Son, be of good cheer. That'd be nice if I was able to walk out of this place and not need these." I like him to speak to me and say, "Son, be of good cheer. You don't need readers anymore." Wouldn't that be nice? Let's see, this guy's in agreement with me. Hey, man. So he threw aside his garment and he came to Jesus. You know, I asked God to help me here this morning. I believe he is. Sometimes we got to be willing to set something aside to come to Jesus. You know that? This guy, if he'd have hung on to his beggar's garment, and he'd have drugged that beggar's garment to the presence of the Lord, I wonder if that would have hindered his faith. See, when he dropped that beggar's garment, he was stepping out by faith. "I'm not going to need this anymore. I'm not going to need these beggar's clothes anymore." Why? Because he knew by faith that the Lord was going to make him whole. He knew by faith that God was going to do something miraculous in his life. Sometimes we got to be willing to set stuff aside. Sometimes you got to set aside your favorite hobby to get alone with God. Sometimes we just got to set, all the time we got to set aside our iniquity, but there's some things that we just like to hang on to that God teaches us through our lives as he begins to discipline us and encourage us and sanctify us, and he teaches us that these things are hindering us, and we got to be willing to set these things aside. And that's exactly what this man did. He put his beggar's garment aside, and he called on the Lord, and the Lord healed him. I got one more verse of scripture, then we're going to have our musician come. The Bible says in John's Gospel chapter, this might be the shortest thing I've ever preached here. Somebody ought to say, "Praise the Lord." But we ain't done yet. In John chapter 16, verses 32 through 33, the Bible reads as follows. "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This should speak volumes to us in the day that we're living in. There was going to be a scattering of not only the disciples, as Jesus went to this mock trial that they had before they crucified him, but there was going to come a scattering in the church. Saul at this particular time in his life was going to rise up, and they would begin to persecute anybody that had faith in the name of Jesus. And the church would be scattered. But before they were scattered and they were spread abroad, God filled them with the power and the anointing to share the good news of the gospel under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit wherever they went. My friend, I want you to know there's something that is available to the church in 2023 that we're going to be able to take into 2024, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. We need Holy Ghost power in our lives today. We need Holy Ghost power in the church today. Well, some would say, "I don't believe in the Holy Ghost," or "I've not heard that there even be a Holy Ghost." Well, you can read it in the Bible. There were men in that Bible that said, "We never even heard of the Holy Ghost." Well, what baptism were you baptized in? We were baptized in the baptism of John. Well, Jesus came and Jesus said, "I will baptize you in the Holy Ghost." My friend, I want you to know he's still filling people with the Holy Ghost. But he endued them with this power. Excuse me. "To be a witness of him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world." He warned them, "In this world you shall suffer tribulation and persecution." He said, but rejoice and be exceedingly glad when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. For great will your be reward in heaven for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Persecution came. Persecution's coming, and I want you to know in the United States of America, hold on to your hat, my friend. Hold on to your faith. Tuck that Bible not only up under your arm, but you need to tuck it in your heart because trouble's coming. Persecution's coming. The enemy's trying his best to squash the message, to silence the church. He's trying to fracture the church. He's trying to scatter the church. Why? Because unified together, we can change the world in the name of Jesus. He knows if he can scatter us and break us and separate us and isolate us, then we have very little influence in this world. But God prepared us for a time such as this. In the last days, he said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That's you and I. And as the church was endued with this power, 3,000 souls added to the church on the day of Pentecost. A couple chapters later, we read how that 5,000 individuals gave their heart to the Lord, and the church began to grow, and God added to the church daily such as would be saved. The church is on the move. The church is growing, my friend. But persecution and troubled times are coming to the United States of America and to the church of the living God. It's inevitable. You can't turn on the news without seeing it. You can't read or read a newspaper today without seeing it. They want to change the gender of your children. They want to confuse them. Amen. Get them while they're young, because when they get old, they'll have no foundation to stand on. My friend, I want you to know the church needs to bind together with a solid message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope we have in Jesus, and realize we got a reason to be of good cheer. We see what's going on in Israel right now in the land of Gaza, and how that the world is coming against Israel, it seems like. And those that are standing up say, we stand for Israel. How they're starting to shake and quake in their boots, and they're beginning to sing a new song, my friend. The Bible says that we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that we need to remember to lift them up in prayer. I have a responsibility to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I need to pray for the children of God. Pray for Israel. But we can see all the confusion. We can see all the distractions that were going on in the world today. And the devil would like nothing better than to distract us from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to keep us from drawing nigh unto him. My friend, we got a reason to hope. And we need to hang in there. And we need to leave this place of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He said, persecution's coming. You're going to be scattered, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So no matter what happens in this society, as God said in the last days, he said it's going to be perilous times. I know that sounds like doom and gloom, but my friend, we live in this life, we live it with hope. Amen. And our hope is anchored in Jesus. Amen. I've anchored in Jesus upon this mighty ocean, the billows roll, or something like that. I forgot how it went. It's been so long since they opened up the Redback Hymnal. But I've anchored in Jesus. Amen. I've got peace with God. I can leave this place of good cheer because I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I know that no matter what the devil does, no matter what he does, Jesus has overcome the world. And I am in him, and he is in me. Amen. I've overcome, and you are more than overcomers. The Bible says we have been made more than conquerors through him which loved us. I'm going to ask our piano player and any other musician that wants to come. I got one more portion of scripture to share with you here today in closing. I hope this has been all right with you. If it hasn't, you need to take it up with God. I hope I'm not the only person in this house that was convicted here this morning. Says, I need to pray. The Bible. May I love the Word of God. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. Actually, we'll just back up a little bit. The Bible says Jesus was in the house. How many of us believe he's here this morning? I do. I believe he's right here in this room this morning. You say, well, have you physically seen him? No. But I know he's here. Amen. My Bible tells me God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. I don't think he's manifests himself in the bark of a tree somewhere, but I believe he's everywhere. And Jesus is in the house. Multitudes are gathering where Jesus is. The Bible says there's so many people in the house that you can't get in. So they're standing on the outside, trying to get a glimpse of him through the window, or trying to hear his words as they echo through the hall and out the window and out the doors. The multitudes are there. And the Bible says there was a man who was paralyzed. He was on his paralytic bed, and he had four friends. How many of you here have four friends? Some people are counting. How many of you have one? Amen. I have a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. I thank God Jesus is closer to me than my brothers. Let me move on. But this guy had four friends. And they heard that Jesus was around. So they picked this man up on his cot. And the scripture says they brought him to the house where Jesus was. And there wasn't no way to get him in. So they climbed up on the roof of the house. And they started tearing the shingles off the house, if you will. They made a hole in the roof. Man, somebody comes around my house and makes a hole in my roof. I got a surprise for them when they make their way inside. They brought this man to Jesus, and they worked tirelessly to get him into the presence of the Lord. And the scripture says his four friends lowered this man down on his cot into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus looks at this sight coming down out of the ceiling. He gets down to eyesight, and I can imagine Jesus looking that man square in the eye as he's laying there, a paralyzed man. Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer." He didn't say you made it to church. He didn't say be of good cheer, you're in with the crowd. He said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." First things first. And the Pharisees and the scribes that were in the room says, "Who do you think you are? Only God can forgive a man's sin. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sin." And Jesus, knowing their heart, he said, "Which is easier, for me to say, 'Son, your sins be forgiven thee,' or that, 'Rise up and walk,' but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, I say to you, rise up and walk." And immediately the man got up. And it began to walk. I want you to know today that in this house, this is your church. You've got four friends, whether you know it or not. They sit in that pew, and they sit in that pew, and they sit in that pew, and they sit in that pew. And they're not here to judge you. They're not here to belittle you. They're not here for any other reason than to help get you to the presence of Jesus. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you need. When you get up and you start make up your mind, I want to be in the presence of the Lord, there's going to be somebody that's going to help you get here. There's going to be somebody that's going to come alongside of you and believe with you and pray and seek the face of God. You've got a friend in Jesus, but you've got a friend in your church. Your church is for you and not against you. God is for you and not against you. And if you need anything from Jesus at all, I want you to know today is your day that you can leave this place hearing the voice of God saying, "You, son, be of good cheer. Son, be of good cheer." Would you stand with me this morning? Always making a mess. This must be the oil. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road. I hollered at you long enough. This is where the rubber meets the road, because this is where you make a decision as to what you're going to do with what you heard, or what you're going to do with what God has spoken into your heart today, or what you're going to do with what it is that you need, what it is that you're going to take home to your family today, what is it you're going to take home to your household today. That's your decision. Amen. You came here sick. I believe you can leave healed in Jesus' name. You came here lost without Christ. I believe you can be delivered here today. You can be forgiven and saved here today. You came here struggling with something in your life. Something's going on and it's weighing you down. I believe you can leave without that burden on your heart today. You cast all your care unto him, for he cares for you. You can say, preacher, preacher, preacher. And then I go down the list like Dan was telling me earlier today. I could go down the list and I can name something everybody in this room is going through. And I wouldn't have any problem. I don't stand up here and say, oh, somebody's dealing with back pain. You need to come. I don't do that kind of stuff. I really don't. But I do want you to know, whatever it is, God knows. No matter what storm it is you're going through in life, God knows. No matter what kind of anxiety you have about the holidays that are coming up, God knows. People go in so much debt at Christmas time that they work and work and work all the way through July because they wanted to give their kid the best Christmas they could afford. The best Christmas that you can afford to give your children today is make sure you take Jesus home with you today. To make sure you go home with the Lord. That's the best thing you can bring. That's the best thing you can do. That's the best thing you can have. Confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know what it's like. I really do. We wanted to give our daughter the best of the best, the best that we could afford. And we'd go out, we'd stretch the limits. And I want you to know, the best that we can give this weekend, this holiday season, is Jesus. So if you're here this morning, you might need to be saved. If you're here today, today's the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time to call on the name of the Lord. You've been struggling with things. You need to come and call on the name of the Lord. Healing for the body, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Issues at home, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Issues on the job, you need to call on the name of the Lord. If you're still in school, issues in school, we need to call on the name of the Lord. You see what I'm trying to say here is that we all need to call on the name of the Lord. And you have no enemies here. You have friends. Amen. You have friends here that want to pray with you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we love and praise you. And Lord, as we open up this altar, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that we heed the call to come to you. We've cried out in the midnight hour. We've cried out in our prayer closets.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.